Once outside the tent, Anya took a moment to check her surroundings. There didn't seem to be anyone else about. Even if she hadn't seen the gunman, that in itself would have been unusual. People were always moving about the camp.
Get down now! Everyone on your stomachs! Hands over your heads, dammit! Get down, I say! I'm not shitting about!
Now that she was outside, and the tent walls were no longer acting as a sound baffle, she could hear voices coming from the center of the camp. She cautiously made her way in that direction, slipping in and out between the tents rather than walking openly down the main path. As she drew closer to the center of camp, she crouched down beside one of the tents and peered around the corner. From where she crouched, she could see that most of the dig team had been herded into the open area in front of the mess tent. Craig stood alone in front of the group, facing a bearded man in dark fatigues who was pointing a pistol at Craig's head. Behind the newcomer were several more men, all dressed the same way and all holding firearms of their own, pointing them indiscriminately at the rest of the dig team. Anya recognized the guns as MP5s, the stubby machine pistols that in recent years had become the weapons of choice for more than a few special operations units across the world. They were effective little things, capable of firing 800 rounds per minute on full auto. If the armed men opened fire, the archaeologists would be cut down in seconds. Craig glared at the men in front of him.
What do you want?
The leader looked past Craig as if he didn't matter and addressed his words to the rest of the dig team huddled behind him.
I'm looking for a necklace, a black one. Surrender it now and there won't be any trouble.
Anya couldn't believe what she was hearing. How did they know about the torque? Craig hadn't even reported it to the trustees from Oxford overseeing the dig yet. Never mind to anyone else. Craig stepped forward, causing the gunman to turn his attention back to him.
Well, I don't know what anyone has told you, but we haven't uncovered anything of value here. There's no gold, no treasure. Certainly nothing to make you rich.
I want the torque. We can do it the easy way, or we can do it the hard way. I don't really care. Now where is it?
There was a look in the gunman's eyes that Anya didn't like. Almost as if he was eager for a confrontation.
Tell him, Craig. Tell him what he wants to know.
I don't know what you were talking about.
That's too bad. Ah!
The shot took Craig in the forehead, knocking him over backward. The rest of the dig team stared in stunned horror at the body in front of them. The gunman seemed to drink in their fear and terror like a fine wine. A slow smile spilled across his face as he watched them stare at the dead body in front of them.
Okay, now that we've established that I'm not screwing around, I'll ask again. Where is the torque?
The need to charge out and avenge her friend screamed through Anya's bones, but she fought the urge back down, running out into the open and confronting the mercenary leader, for that is what she guessed them to be, mercenaries, would only get her killed. If she was going to get the rest of the team out of this alive, she would need all her wits about her. She slipped slowly backward until she was out of sight behind the nearest tent, and then reached into the otherware. The sword appeared in her hand, fully formed and ready for use, the hilt fitting her palm as if it had been made for her and her alone. Her life hadn't been the same since that fateful day when she'd brought the broken, scattered pieces of the sword together again for the first time since their original owner, Joan of Arc, burned at the stake centuries earlier. The sword miraculously reformed in a flash of power right before her, and in some strange way she still didn't quite understand, chose her to be its next bearer. Her own innate sense of justice seemed amplified when she carried the sword, and she'd found herself forced into any number of situations from which others would have simply walked away. Numbers didn't matter, nor did the odds. Only that she acted whenever possible to defend those who couldn't defend themselves. Like now. Despite knowing that they would never get there in time, Anya pulled out her BlackBerry with her free hand and placed an emergency call to the regional police.
This is Anya Creed with the Oxford University dig team in the Midlands Bog. We are under armed attack. One dead already. Send help immediately to my phone coordinates.
As she slipped the phone back into her pocket, her fingers touched the torque. Something told her that it wouldn't be safe there. If she was caught, her captors would find it in seconds. She took it out of her pocket and slipped it inside her sports bra instead. That way, at least it would pass a casual search. Then she took a moment to consider her next move. Clearly, she couldn't take them all on at once. But if she could even up the odds a bit, she'd have a better chance of succeeding in the end. With that in mind, she faded back into the shadows, waiting for her chance at vengeance.